Hello, this is Lauren Schaffel. I play the voice of Liz Horton, and welcome to the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Hi, this is Chris.
And Sarah.
We're just getting ready for a time of amazement.
Surprise.
And good times.
Welcome to the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 52 of the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Today we have two very special guests with us, and it's not just because they're Canadian.
Yay!
We have a couple members from the town of Odyssey joining us. Catspaw.
Hello.
And we have Boswell.
Greetings and salutations.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, and how are you today, Chris?
I'm doing fantastic. Unfortunately, my normal co-host, Sarah, was not able to, or is not able to join us because she's not feeling so great, but glad to have you guys here.
We're happy to be here.
Glad to be here.
So, what's new? What's new in the world of Odyssey?
Some absolutely fantastic-looking new products coming out, that's what?
No kidding. Every time I head on to the Odyssey Scoop and see that a new album repack has been unveiled, I just get all sweaty and happy and jumpy and excited.
I don't get quite that happy, but I'm happy for Boswell.
Yeah, it seems they've been coming out with a new repack every once a month, so.
Yeah, it's been good. The sad thing is that we've only got 5 more albums to go until Gary Locke's art is on the cover of every album.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious? Only 5 more?
Yeah, volumes 23, 26, 28, 29, and 34 are the only ones left.
Wow.
And then there are some reframes, but no new artwork.
That's right. Like Eugene Returns, and I think Lost and Found, those two need to be reframed.
And then every volume from 36 to 43.
Right on. Well, speaking of the new products, I'm assuming you guys have seen the latest artwork for Odyssey or AIO Live. CD and DVD set.
It looks so cool. I'm so glad that they shared the pictures ahead of time, because it's really made me want to be able to buy it that much more. Because we have to wait until May, right? It seems
like
a
long time.
I know. It doesn't seem fair, does it? Let us have it now.
It should have been released last May.
Before they even taped the thing, they should have had it.
Before the show.
But really, it looks very, very cool, and I'm excited that they're putting out such an innovative kind of product, and the bonus features sound really cool. So it was, I think you guys would both agree that being at the live show was one of those experiences that you can't entirely duplicate, but I think that they're doing a pretty bang-up job on the CDs.
Well, you can duplicate it. You just have to wait until the 25th anniversary show.
Which hopefully will happen, and hopefully will be as awesome or awesomer, but it still wouldn't be a duplicate. It would be something different, but just still fantastic.
Very true. I think we need a 21st anniversary live show.
Yeah, sign me up.
You know, I think we need one every year, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and refresh my memory if I'm wrong here, but was it on the interview with Connie Kendall that Ethan Daniels and his partner in crime, whose name I'm forgetting, didn't Katie say something about wanting to do like more?
Yes. I'm not sure, Bob, have you heard of the Ceiling Fan at all?
Yes, Ceiling Fan podcast. That's what I'm talking about.
I listened to an episode just to see who they were.
Okay, yeah, it was the two hosts on that show were Ethan Daniels and Phil Jenkins, and they were talking with Katie Lee, and she had mentioned something about talking to other actors and them wanting to do more of the kind of the live show thing
in different locations, which was a neat component.
Well, a show like that is very hard to synchronize, especially when you need to have all of the actors together at the same time.
Yes,
Very, that's very true.
I mean it's easy to see why they don't do more, but it's also easy to see why the fans wish that we could go all the time.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
for sure, yeah.
No, it was really something else being able to see and even get to meet a lot of the actors. I mean,
Oh, that was so. Like,
like
sometimes
hearing.
I still, like. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Boswell.
Well, like hearing Jess Harnell's many voices is just something else when you see him do it on the fly. And Will Ryan just has this whole other level of entertainment when he's on stage. You can really
Oh,
tell he
yeah.
enjoys performing for people.
Oh, definitely.
And I loved every time Jess Harnell did the Wooten snort. It was so funny to watch him because he just seemed to be having so much fun. And it's just even funnier. Like when you're listening to an episode and then you hear something and then you can like picture it, like the actors from the live show, and then it's just so much better.
Yeah, he throws his whole body into those snorts.
Oh, totally. I mean, you could just watch his face and see how much fun he was having. He's really getting into it.
You know what? I think if I had that job, I would be just as into it.
Well, try snorting. Let's see if you'd be a good replacement.
Oh, I don't know. That requires a lot of skill.
That
Oh, really?
wasn't
Well, maybe if we have too many Wootens, we'll have to have a woot off. Well, whoever can eat the most fresh licorice in 10 minutes wins. Oh, I don't really like licorice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, good thing I've got other jobs. Katie Lee, when we went to take a picture, my sister and I with her, I almost broke my smile right before the flashbulb went because we had said maybe a sentence to her, and she was smiling at the camera and out of nowhere said, "You guys are both Canadians, aren't you?"
Oh.
No
And I
way.
don't know how she could tell that.
Well, while I was in Colorado, a few of my words were pointed at as being distinctive. So, did you apologize for anything? As
Or
in
say
saying,
hey.
I'm sorry? I was told
Americans
that I
apologize.
said it oddly.
Well, I wasn't wearing a boot.
Yeah, like sometimes I'm just think I just think about the live show and how fantastic it was, and it's just in the middle of nowhere I can just randomly be smiling because I'm just thinking about what a great time we had and how great the actors were. And I mean, you see so many stories about famous people who are total jerks, and I know that these people aren't like super famous, though some of them probably should be more recognized than they are just based on the number of things that they've done
I think
and how
Corey
great they are.
Burton does
But
every voice for everything.
oh, and
No
Jess
kidding.
Harnell too, like on the IMDb he has well over 100 voice credits because he's just I mean, and that's the thing, right? Like you can't even you don't even know it's him sometimes.
But if they were
Actually,
too famous, Focus would have to pay them more.
well, exactly. Like there's ups and downs, right? But it's just, yeah, they were just all so fantastic.
I have two sisters, and one of them is a complete Odyssey fanatic like me, and the other one, not so much. I'll never understand why, but when Wooten, or what, sorry, when Jess started up his famous Bill Crosby routine, even
Oh my
she
goodness.
just started to love it.
Okay, you can ask Chris for verification on this because he noticed, but I laughed so hard during that part.
Anybody who's listened to shows like The Present Long Ago or
Oh, that is one of my favorites.
BTV Obedience would just love that reference even more. I hope we get to hear it again sometime soon.
For sure. Yeah, that was definitely a highlight. I know my parents, I mean, they've listened to lots of Odyssey because they're the ones that originally started buying it when I was younger. And they've heard lots in like car trips and vacations and all those kinds of good things. But they aren't like they don't know all the storylines. They don't know everything that's going on with all the characters, but they really enjoy the live show.
That would probably be why they made the trip for it.
Yes.
That was
Well,
great, just being in an auditorium full of hundreds of Odyssey fans.
I know. And I mean, it's just that like instant bond, like even some of us while we were waiting in line, like or before we even got into the building, there were just, talking to some people and one person that I know, I'm not sure she listened to the podcast, but somebody even gave her his card because she think he thought that this girl and his son, his teenage son, would make a great pair. And somebody, I don't remember who, but made the observation, like, what better place to find somebody, right? It's they're all Odyssey fans, it's they should add that to the tagline for the next one. See a great show, find somebody special.
Okay, we're talking about something different now. So yeah, any overall thoughts on the live show at all?
More. Please,
Absolutely.
more.
Yeah, I think that would sum up the thoughts of everybody who was there.
Yes, and for those who weren't there, they want to say, me, please, me.
Exactly.
Yep, well, the good news is that AIO Live will come out in May, so that's definitely something
Woo!
to look forward to. But actually, something is coming out before May, and that would be the Novacom box set.
Dun dun dun.
Now, I know we have some differing opinions on this particular set. Boswell, any thoughts on this one here?
It grates me that I have to buy the same episodes that I bought four albums worth of 4 years ago just to get one CD of bonus features. But as a fan, even though it costs $40, I will do what I need to get those behind the scenes features. And
Yeah, like I'm.
I'll buy them again when they come out as repacks in the next year.
I find myself slightly less dedicated than Boswell in the collection side of things, but I think most people will. But I also want to get the Novacom set because, I mean, A, the packaging does look totally cool, which is a great feature, and I do want the bonus features. Basically, what I might do is I might buy it, listen, enjoy, maybe keep the bonus disc and give the rest away to I have some friends who enjoy Odyssey that usually borrow them from me, so that I've given a few albums to over the years, so I might end up doing something like that just to spread the fun around.
Novacom is a fun worth spreading.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And for
Yeah, some
people who
people.
don't collect every album, like this would be a great thing. I just do collect every album.
Oh, it's there's no doubt that it's a great value for anyone who doesn't already own the individual
Oh,
albums.
for sure.
I mean, we're talking about 35, 36, 37, 38, four volumes of Odyssey together for $40. And that's Canadian.
Which we all are Canadians,
And
so we
with
can.
at the state of our dollar, that's
That's just about
a bargain for
$5.
yeah, exactly.
No, it's a really good deal. Some people spend their money on, food and cars and education and whatever. I spend my money on Odyssey.
You have to have your priorities straight.
It's about priorities. Do I have my priorities straight?
Obviously.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Pretty rhetorical question there, actually. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm kind of split on this one too because, like Boswell, I am I'm endeavoring to collect all the repacks. So I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely going to be picking up this box set. But I mean, it's true though. I mean, if you are going to be getting the or if you already have the Novacom Saga, then there's definitely a lesser amount of appeal for picking up this new set. But like Catspaw mentioned, the packaging looks fantastic, and they really went to great lengths to make sure that it was a very nice looking little set there. So,
Very. I'm still very interested in what kind of material is going to be included in the top secret 16-page booklet because we have pictures of it, but nothing from the inside besides an episode list.
that's what makes it top secret, I guess.
Ho ho ho. We'll have to wait until launch date on April 1st.
Ooh, launch date. I hope the sets don't explode or anything.
Well, just type in Spizzorinctum and everything will be okay.
Is that the special code? Ooh, I don't pay enough attention. I don't think that's what Tom did.
No, I don't think he could type Spizzorinctum.
I don't think Tom could type his name without giving
compliments.
No.
Is that not as an insult against Tom because I love him, but he's not the most technologically literate guy.
Is that with two P's or an M?
Yeah. All the letters on the keyboard are there out of order.
Poor Tom.
But Tom can still speak better than Harlow Doyle.
Well, that might be a bit of an insult to Tom to say it like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sure you could spell Ichabodia.
I-C-A-Bodia.
M?
So well, what else exciting is happening in Odyssey Land?
Odyssey Land is its own country now.
Absolutely. I'd move there, wouldn't you? Well, I guess technically it's Colorado.
Yeah, no. I'll keep my free health care.
Yeah, me too.
Not willing to move because of that. Speaking of moving, season 51 coming up in the fall. What kind of character changes do you think we're going to be getting?
Yeah, that's kind of a scary thought.
That
as somebody is kind of resistant to change at times.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think the biggest change that we could likely see is the family turnover. I mean, you have the Strasburg family, the McKay family, and the Washington family. Those are the three main families that are still up in the air. And who knows? I mean, I'm assuming you guys would like to see them come back, right?
To be honest, I think I've had my fill of the Strasburgs.
Right. We that's true. That family may have run its course. That is
like,
true.
I would miss Mandy, but like as an entire family, when they changed over David's, that's the brother, right? David's voice.
Yes.
I don't know. It was just a little off. I would like to maybe have Mandy there and kind of maybe updating us on what the family has been through since we last heard from all of them. But as an entire family unit, I have to admit that the Strasburgs have never been a favorite of mine.
Right.
But would you rather see them go the way of the Shepherds and you just hear like parts of them, like for a while, all we had was Aubrey, or even better, the Mulligans. Which
right.
Sort of faded kinda away, just even though Nick kept making his
cameos. Yeah, exactly. Nick was still there, but everybody else dropped off the face of the planet. I wouldn't want them necessarily to totally disappear, but they wouldn't be my favorites to have as a regular family. Though I did really, I mean, with the episodes that they were in, where their family was going through so much turmoil, I did appreciate what they were doing with that. They just
very much
aren't ones that I would listen to as often as some other episodes. I really found the McKay family growing on me. I wouldn't want to lose them now, just when it kind of just felt like things were happening. Like we knew the characters better, we knew them better as a family, and I was really starting to like them, so I think I would miss them more because we've had a lot less time to get to know them.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially after the conclusion of Accidental Dilemma, I think
there
are a lot of there's a lot I want to hear from that family yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in contrast with the Strasburg family, where the story arc pretty much wrapped up with the Rachel and Steven Strasburg getting back together, essentially, that story arc is pretty much wrapped up. Whereas with McKay family, there's still this question of, you know, the parents are not Christians yet. Grady is still young enough, I believe, to continue his development in Odyssey. And so, you know, who knows? Especially with his relationship with Wooten, I think that's something to continue.
You know what? I was kind of disappointed when I realized that having Carson back means that he doesn't need Wooten in quite the same way that he used to. Seeing Wooten and Grady interact and Grady come to Christ through Wooten it was a story that I very much enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wooten can still be Grady's primary mentor, at least as far as his new Christianity goes. But You know what? I never imagined Wooten and Mrs. McKay getting married per se, but I still might always think of Wooten as Grady's real dad.
Yeah, he's definitely been his father figure for sure.
But I mean,
and for so long.
But in a way, you could say that almost about, like, Eugene and Whit.
Except
oh,
Whit never
like
had
not,
his.
Not in the same way, and especially different ages, different time frames. But Wooten can still be a spiritual mentor and be an important part of Grady's life. But I don't think that Focus on the Family would ever want to send the message that a caring dad who's in the picture should shove over to make room for the nice neighbor guy, you know? Like he's...
Oh, no, no, no.
Like, I love Wooten. And I really... Because of episodes like Tuesdays with Wooten is where I really liked him even more as a character. Where
you can
see just how much depth and, like, just what a great guy he is.
Totally.
Like, without, not less of the goofy stuff, which I love the goofy stuff, but it was nice seeing that other side. But, I don't think that that should get in the way of Grady and his dad developing, like, a really solid relationship. And it would be cool if Wooten was part of some of that fun stuff.
Like, Wooten will be, like, the fun uncle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, kind of more that idea. Which is kind of... It's easier to see him as, the fun uncle than as a mature parental figure anyway.
Well,
I don't know. Does that make sense?
I don't know. If you were a kid raised on ice cream skyscrapers, you might not turn out as well as something.
Yes, Wooten would have to marry one practical person for those kids to turn out okay.
Yeah, so that they don't wind up fitting in their showers better sideways, too.
Though, to me, that does not, I don't picture Wooten as being that
large.
Neither
do I. Especially because Jess is so thin. He's such a thin guy. Gary Locke's illustration of him wasn't very wide either.
No, we never see his face, but...
No,
or even
but...
the cutout on the way to the slide at Wits End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not that big.
Really, it's always been Tory Martin's vision that Wooten's been like him in terms of being heavyset. But as far, and the writers have incorporated that too into the stories and mentioning that he's making references to his weight and stuff. But as far as the artwork goes, we haven't really seen any indication of that. So it's kind of.
But, you know, in a way, like, I can see Wooten as being the kind of guy who would exaggerate too. Like, with the. I can see how you could make a case for, like, I just found out I'm more wide than I am tall. Like, I can see how it could be, like, not supposed to be taken literally. This is Wooten after all. He could just be. Could just be a way of saying that. That he's a little heavier, but not literally 6 feet wide. You know what I mean? To me, that makes more sense, is that Wooten's kind of making a joke about his weight more than he actually measures that far across.
Yeah, he has a nice self-deprecating type of humor, so, I mean, that's nice.
Which I love.
Another family that we haven't talked about yet is the Washingtons, which everybody has come to, I think, really much know and love over the last 5 years that they've been on the show now.
Yeah, they've definitely grown on me.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they're almost in an awkward position with them because they've just brought in this new surrogate daughter. They have Kelly now, who, right. On top of that, just became a Christian, which is a brand new story that can keep going. And yeah. Marvin and Tamika have just reached that point where fans start to worry about their presence on the show in the future.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You kind of wonder if we could reach that kind of Shepherd type scenario where, you know, I guess with the Shepherd family, they kind of face both Aubrey and her younger sister at the same time. But as far as, you know, Tamika and Marvin go, I mean, Those two actors are getting, they're, you know, getting to the college age right now, so who knows if they can continue. Although, in saying that, I mean, Aria Curzon is also, is presumably continuing, and, or has been, and she's been at that age as well, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fear that we've seen the last of the Dwights as well.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too, but
well, we know Jared's gone for sure, but I'm hoping Trent sticks around for at least one more season. I mean, we got to see more of this Mandy Trent thing, right?
Exactly.
No, no, we don't. No, we don't.
Oh, that's as a girl, I would like to hear a little more of that. Not in the super, like, obviously they wouldn't go overboard with it, but like the what episode was it with the why are you kneeling and drop my fork? Like, oh,
That
which one was that?
was Mum's the Word, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember. But anyway, like I love that. Or in even the one where they were in the radio show together in album 50, and
Yeah, it's a
everybody.
class reenactment.
Yeah.
Yes, a class reenactment. I don't know. I just and the present long ago. Like I don't know. I love those.
You know, it was okay in the present long ago, but we don't need to know more.
I don't think we'll ever know the full story, and that's okay, because, you know, imagination is fun too.
Yeah.
But I'd like to get at least a few more hints and details.
Well,
But, you
if
know,
we've
we're in different demographics, I suppose.
As a guy, I would like to hear more Power Boy. So we have Marvin, who's grown up, and Trent as well, Mandy, Liz.
Now, Liz hasn't been
Anybody
on the
else?
show in quite a while.
Yeah. I think, wasn't the actress going to university somewhere? Was that Lauren Shaffel?
Yeah, she's going to school in New York, so I don't know if she's going to continue or not, or return, really.
I would guess not, but I mean, you never know.
Every time we've had a hiatus this long, things have been almost completely different when we came back.
By every
Very
time
past
you mean
that.
once?
Yeah. That's a 100% track record.
Good statistics.
Thank you. That's my
Well,
major.
so I've heard.
one thing that happened during the last hiatus, or I guess the first, the only other one, was a change in the kids. They were a brand new, like a bunch of new kids introduced after the first hiatus, and they're going to be doing the same thing pretty much this time around. And the producers have mentioned on the official podcast that they will be introducing new families, new actors, and also that they're going to be experimenting with using adult actors to play kid characters. What are your thoughts on that? Because we obviously saw some of that with Kidsborough. For those of you who haven't heard, it's the part of the Truth Chronicles, and they use adult actors to voice the kid characters. I don't know. For some, they can work. Others, not so much.
Well, it is focus on the family, and now cutting off everyone under the age of, say, 16 or 17 kind of seems a bit strange, but I am a fan of that idea. I do like having adult actors play the kids. It allows us to keep those for a much longer period of time without, you know, awkward voice changes, etc. Plus, Adam Wiley plays the only character in Odyssey who's ever been named after me.
Well, that's got to count for something right there, so.
Yes, I still remember him from the or the Story Keepers videos. He was the voice of one of the characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Huh.
I don't know if other people had those since I'm so old and all, but
Oh, no, I remember those a long time ago.
good times. I can see how the adult actors playing kids makes it a lot easier, like Boswell was saying, so I can see the advantage, but if I can tell that it's an adult, then it kind of ruins it.
Yeah.
You know, like if the whole time you're thinking, wow, this doesn't sound right. Like it's one thing to know that it's an adult, because I mean, in this age of information is easy to find often, then I mean, lots of fans might know that it is an adult, but if you can hear it, so you can't stop thinking about it, then to me that's a problem. So I'm hoping that the further they go that route, that they'll still hang on to people who actually can do a good job of it. Like, and I know there's so much talent that goes into Odyssey. Like, I don't want to sound negative. I just don't. just want to hear a bunch of adults that sound like adults pretending to be kids. Because that to me just ruins it. Like, that's not what Odyssey is, so.
There's something special
Well,
about having the inconsistencies or the like. I think what happens when you get adult actors, and I hear what you're saying, Boswell, about focus being able to keep them longer and keep their characters lasting longer, which is a great asset. But I think there's something about being an adult actor where you're a bit more polished in your
yeah.
performance, whereas kids, that natural kind of they're not always on point. And I think having that sometimes makes the performance more believable sometimes. I mean, look at Grady, or look at Rachel Fox, who plays Kelly.
Yeah,
Two
she
very
left.
talented actors, and they're like both
Very.
like 10 or somewhere in that age. So I think there would be an advantage to having adult actors, but I think they need to have that balance of, kid actors with adult actors.
But having adults that sound like kids, that happens with the kid actors too, because I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed Liz Horton much more before her voice changed. The same with Trent. Both of them, once their voices changed, they're still supposed to be in middle school, right? And but they're 20. So if you have an adult who can consistently sound like they're in middle school, I would take that over someone whose actor will grow up but whose character doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. Personally, I just enjoyed hearing their voices mature. I mean, like, take Lucy for an example. I mean, there's like three distinct stages where Lucy was at. That squeaky high voice, the medium voice, and then her more mature, 17, 18, 16-year-old voice that she had for the last her latter years. I don't know.
And if
I
you listen
enjoy hearing
closely,
them
you
grow
can
up.
tell the difference.
And the awesome thing is that when she talks now, you can still totally hear Lucy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whereas our other returning cast there, completely different voices.
Oh, are we not supposed to be giving away secrets from the live show, or does everybody know that
Well, they
already?
returned in the Triangle Web.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. And there was a clip on the official podcast where they talked about Jack and Lucy coming
Oh,
back.
that's right. Yes.
Like you said, it's the age of information. Things came out
Gotta
there.
keep up with the times.
So true.
I remember the days when you could just wait until the episode came out on an album, go buy the cassettes, and it would be completely brand new.
Yep, I never listened to the radio when I was younger. I would wait excitedly for Focus on the Family magazine to come, and I'd rip my way to the resources section and make sure I pointed it to my parents. There's a new Odyssey set out. You have to order it. New tapes. And then I'd wait for the mail.
And now we're disappointed when the episode isn't up online 3 days
Days early.
before it airs.
This is absolutely ridiculous. Who do they think
What's
they are to
going
make us
on?
wait an extra 10 minutes?
No, but even though she's been on for a short amount of time, I've really come to already like Georgina Cordova's characters. She played
Oh,
Nelson
yeah.
in Kidsborough. I believe she played young Eugene in Everett as well. And that is a voice that I can see staying on the show for many more years and that I would very like. She has such a unique voice, at least when she plays those characters, and I really enjoy hearing her.
Oh, totally.
She didn't play Everett, did she?
No, I
No,
I'm
I could be
actually
wrong.
asked Marshall back in an early podcast, because I thought the same. I thought, like, wow, she really replicated the kid voice, and it sounded just like Everett. But no, it's someone else. It was a kid who played Everett.
Yeah, because there's sometimes I watch this show called Phil of the Future. That's a Disney Channel show. And there's this one episode where there's this kid voice, like you just hear the voice and you don't actually see the person. But and I was like, that sounds super familiar. When I heard Everett's voice, I was like, that sounds really familiar. And then I ended up online, information age, realizing that it was Everett and this voice in this one episode were the same. So, and I was sure that it was a guy, not a girl. So, anyway,
But just so everybody knows, Jess Harnell and Bill Cosby are not the same person.
Or there's been some serious surgery.
Well, speaking of characters that we'd like to see more of, what do you think they should do with Tom Riley and Bart Rathbone?
Oh, tough question.
You know, should they find a replacement, or should they, you know, phase their characters out of the show?
That is controversial. I think it was Robert Easton who did the replacement of Bart Rathbone for the one episode. The first time I heard it, I was probably jarred, like many of our listeners. And it was just not, it wasn't Walker, which is the only thing you can really dwell on for a while. But when I listened to it a second time on the drive home from the live show, sorry again to everyone who wasn't there if we're making you feel worse and worse. But listening to it a second time, I realized that he really did an amazing job. Like I listened to the episode once with my veil of bias on, but once listening to it again, he really did fantastic, and I wouldn't mind at all if they kept Bart around. Steve Burns hasn't been around in a while, so without Rodney, that's some interaction that we haven't seen in a long time. But I think as Bart, I would be very happy if he stayed on the show.
Really? Like, maybe I still have the veil of bias that you mentioned on, but to me, even when I listened again, it didn't sound right. Like, and I didn't expect it to be Walker, you know, but to me, it just still sounded off. It didn't sound like, if I hadn't known it was supposed to be Bart, I felt like I wouldn't have even figured out who it was. But I guess maybe I should listen again, and now that I haven't heard it for a while, and get a new perspective. But I don't know.
And listeners who have heard Walker as Bart for 20 years, they're always going to notice something a bit
Well,
different.
exactly.
It's never it's going to be like Paul and Hal all over again if they do keep him on. It's never going to be exactly the same.
But
But I think he's an actor who could stay on the show and at least gradually fans would open up to him.
yeah, I agree, and I think because he's more of a caricature than rather than a, you know, a real, I want to say a deep character, you know,
You mean
I think
Bart's not.
audiences could I think audiences could warm up to him more than say a replacement for Tom Riley, who has been around longer than has been around since the beginning of the show, really. And I think it would be a lot harder
In
for them
fact.
to, sorry, I think it'd be a lot harder for them to find a replacement for Tom or even try to than it would be for them to replace Bart.
In fact, if you listen to the show line by line, Tom has been on the show longer than Wit.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Pretty sure Tom appears in Wit's flop before Wit does.
Oh, you know, I think you're right. Does it start at the baseball game?
Starts at the baseball game, doesn't it?
Yeah. So technically,
Yeah,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
it's going by the seconds and not by the episodes.
Well, as far at least as far as actors go, Walker definitely had more lines than probably anyone else.
And Bart may be the one with big feet, but it's Tom's shoes that are going to be the harder to fill if they continue on his character.
Nice analogy.
Thanks.
Yeah, like I can see that it would be really hard to decide, like how would you have Tom move away, right? Like it would be easier to just not mention, or like to refer to him as being busy or whatever, than it would be to actually have a storyline where he moved away or died. Like where would he go? Like
He
and
can go.
then
He
his
can go
wife.
join. He can go join Agnes in Hillingdale,
Oh, that's
and
sad.
never hear from them again.
See, but then
Or
that to me would be almost sadder. Like they're so close, why wouldn't you go visit, right? Like to
no,
me that
yeah, that's
wouldn't
true.
remove
Yeah.
them. It would just, I don't know.
I think he should meet an angel named Hezekiah who looks a lot like the guy who checks his gas meter and go off and become a rodeo cowboy.
That would be another
Hegia.
alternative.
You should meet an angel named Hegii who looks a lot like the guy who checks his gas meter. No,
Are you a Connie and Eugene shipper as well?
Oh, goodness, no. Just I'm a
since we're
Eugene.
going for that episode, you know.
I'm a Eugene and Pamela Hayden shipper.
Ah, yes. Yes.
But
agreed.
Does anybody else feel that Katrina has been dumbed down since Audrey Wozniacki took over? I mean, Audrey Wozniacki is a great actress.
Yeah, like
Katrina, the whole, like, before they got married in the old days, it was all about how Katrina and Eugene were on the same level intellectually. But ever since Eugene's return, we haven't got that from the writers, at least.
And it could be part of the marriage curse, as it's in not that marriage is a curse, but in a way, it's harder to know what to do with a character like once they're actually married. In a way, it's probably easier to have storylines when they're not together because you're trying to get them together and you have to not get them together yet, and the angst and the trials and all those good times that Eugene and Katrina have had for years and years. But now they're married and they should be doing stuff together, but they don't necessarily want to go through the hassle of putting Katrina in all the episodes, right? So somehow she has to be more expendable because we have a higher expectation that she should be there, but they don't, for just storyline reasons and I'm sure just resource reasons, they don't want to have another character in there all the time.
Well, it kind of hit a their story arc kind of hit the end, because once they got married, it was like, okay, now what?
You know, yeah.
The whole point of having Katrina was for to have someone for kind of to mature Eugene, really, if you think about it. That's one of the reasons why she was there. She really challenged his whole belief system, and ultimately is not one of not the main reason he came to Christ, but
definitely a significant
a significant person in his life. And so now that he is a believer, and now that they are married, it's like, okay, now where do we go? Do we really explore their relationship anymore, or do we just kind of put her on the shelf and leave her with the likes of Richard Maxwell and all those love characters?
You didn't say that.
Uh-oh. I see conflict ahead.
Who, by the way, is another character that needs to come back.
That'd be
absolutely
awesome.
Richard returns.
Well, they had Eugene returns, so why can't they have Richard returns?
Yeah, I see no reason.
And it's not like Nathan Carlson isn't available.
Exactly. No. That's part of what makes it almost worse, is like it's not like the actor has never been on Odyssey since Richard has been on Odyssey. We've heard Mr. Strasberg multiple times.
Yeah, we heard Nathan in the Truth Chronicles, actually.
That's true, yeah.
So, which character was he?
He was in the Pilgrim episode, wasn't he?
He was in the Pilgrim episode, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I haven't listened to the last the last disc. So there was a two-parter, and there was one more episode, and I haven't listened to those yet.
Okay, we won't spoil anything for you.
Yeah, one of them, the theme was the formation of America or something, and I was like, meh, I can wait.
I have more important things to concern myself with.
Are you listening, Focus on the Family? This is an all-Canadian podcast where our Canadian history imagination station adventures. Where are they?
It doesn't have to be all about Canadian history, but they could, like, you know, meet a nice Canadian or something, you know. Kind of,
I think
a little,
Putin is Canadian
a little,
personally.
Well, I guess he's closer
he's
to Canada than
Canadian.
A lot of places in Alaska.
He's half Canadian. I'll take that.
In Alaska, you're closer to Canada than the States, you know. Land.
No, in
map.
Alaska, you're in the States.
Well, I mean, then the rest of the continental U.S. There's kind of a separation between the rest of the States, you know. Though technically, you are right.
I knew what you meant, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're so polite. We're Canadian.
Canadian.
Welcome to the Unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast, eh?
Canadian edition. All Canadians, all the time.
Now,
until Sarah
with added apologies.
Ooh, we should play Tim Hortons commercials.
Winter Duke is colder than you've ever heard it before.